Have a lot of people out today, that's evident, but we have the same occasion that has sent many of them away has brought many visitors our way, and we're grateful that you're here. Whether you're here for the occasion or not, we're grateful that you are among us today, and we hope that your involvement in our service today will be such that encourages you and helps you in a spiritual manner. I want to take just a moment to acknowledge the day that our culture and society recognizes as Mother's Day, a day on which we honor those among us who have been mothers. I know that this is, for some, a day of great rejoicing. For others, it is a day of difficulty because you are mothers of children who have gone on from this life. And so we recognize the possibilities of both emotions and both feelings today. And we just say that we love you and appreciate you for your labor in rearing children in this world. My sermon this morning doesn't have directly anything to do with Mother's Day, but I think it is one that touches that subject, certainly, and one that could be and would be appreciated by mothers. And it begins with a question this morning for each of us to consider. And the question is this: are you a Christian by generation or by regeneration? Are you a Christian by generation or by regeneration? My grandmother, that I have spoken quite a bit about in recent days because she has now turned 100 years old, lives in a small rural community in East Texas called Broadus, Texas. Population probably now less than 500 people. But I have fond memories of going to her house. The same house she lives in today is the same house she reared all eight of her children in. And as you walk in the door of her house, on the wall there is a piece of art that one of the children had made for her a number of years ago. And it's a tree. And it has, of course, like most trees, branches on it. But those branches represent the families of each of the siblings or each of the children that she has mothered. And then on those branches, there are apples that represent the children of those children. And it's a beautiful reminder of generations and family. And that is one of the many things that I remember about her home. That is one that certainly stands out in my mind. But this morning, as I think about that tree and the symbolism of generations, in light of what we're talking about, are you a Christian by generation or regeneration? I know, just in my thinking about that piece of art, that the children directly from her, they're all Christians. But then as you look at those apples on that tree that represent the individuals in that family, not all are. Some are Christians, some aren't. And then as the generations continue from that tree, you experience the same reality. Some are Christians, and maybe the further and further even that you get away from her, there it begins to taper off. And there are more and more, perhaps, that are not as interested in the Christian faith as she was. And that is the case in many families today. When you look at the generations as they continue throughout time, many taper off relative to their relationship and their love for God. There are gaps in that tree of consistency in the generations. And you might ask the question, why? If the grandmother or the grandfather in the family was a faithful Christian, why are there gaps as the generations continue? Why does so often it taper off? I would suggest to you that has direct correlation to our question this morning. Is Christianity about generation or is it about regeneration? And that's the matter that we want to explore in our study this morning. First, relative to that subject, are you a Christian by generation or regeneration? It's imperative that we understand that there is no such thing as a Christian by generation. There's no such thing as that. Sometimes in talking with people and in the course of a conversation, it'll come out that I am a preacher for Churches of Christ. The person that I'm talking to might say, well, my parents are members of the Church of Christ. Or my grandparents were members of the Church of Christ. Of course, implying by that they are not what their parents or their grandparents were. But people will throw that out as though it is some sort of credential for acceptance, as if Christianity has something substantive to do with generation rather than something else. And while our ancestors may have been Christians, that in and of itself has no direct bearing on yours and my relationship with God. Because there is no such thing as a Christian simply by generation. Jesus neutralized a similar thought, a similar opinion, during the days of his personal ministry upon this earth. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, of the Jews of his day, do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. The point is, your religious, your spiritual relationship with God is not derived from your genealogical descendancy. Just because grandma or grandpa was a Christian, just because mom or dad is a Christian, that's not some kind of blanket or some kind of credential that covers me and covers you and establishes your relationship with God. It's great. As I look back on my family tree, that my grandmother was a member of the Church of Christ. I think it's wonderful that my mother followed the same guide, the same instruction that my grandmother used, and also became a New Testament Christian member of the Church of Christ. But that has no direct bearing on me. That does not make me a Christian simply because they were. And Jesus and John the Baptizer told the religious people of their day the same thing. You appeal to Abraham and you put him up as a figure of significance and say, because we are the descendants of Abraham, then our relationship with God is secure. And Jesus debunked that idea very straightforwardly and very firmly. It is an age-old truth that we are responsible for ourselves. I like the way Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 sums up that idea. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. The Father shall not bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon him. It doesn't matter, relatively speaking, who my mom or my dad or my grandmother or my grandfather are. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my own actions. I'm responsible for my own relationship with God, because there is no such thing as a Christian by generation. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 to Christians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It is the case that we are responsible for ourselves when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to a relationship with God. Well, where do parents, where do grandparents, where does genealogy fit into that picture, if it does at all? Well, parents must point and guide children in the right way. Part of the passage that Jason just read for us a moment ago from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 demonstrates this, and Paul expresses his appreciation and his gratitude for the family tree of Timothy and for the generations that had gone before Timothy. Specifically in verse 5, he says again, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned," one translation says, another says genuine, same thing. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Now there's a situation where generation had a direct impact on the Christianity of a man. But the generations didn't make him a Christian. They assumed their proper role in teaching, guiding, and instructing those who came after them so that there would be hope and opportunity for their descendancy. Sometimes children, and I say this as a caution and a warning, sometimes children, when they get out on their own, will write off the things that their parents have instilled in them and taught them, as if generation automatically made it wrong. Now, I can speak with authority really on that subject, because that's exactly what I did. I wrote it off. And I felt like that was my parents or my family or generations, and I needed to chart my own course. It is a foolish mistake, perhaps even to the point of your own condemnation, to just write off what generations have taught you. But on the other side of the coin, don't just accept it because that's what generations have taught you. Because there is no such thing as a Christian simply by generation. Now let's take this a step further. If it's not generation, then what is it? Well, I asked at the outset, are you a Christian by generation or by regeneration? You see, point number two, regeneration is the recipe for a true Christian. When it comes down to making what is genuine, what is actual, what is God accepted and approved, regeneration is what you and I need to be concerned about. Well, what in the world is that? Regeneration has the idea of bringing something into renewed existence. in its most fundamental ways, trying to make sense of this in our mind. In a very basic sense, think about when you cut your finger. And maybe you're like I did when I was a kid. I had my own pocket knife, and I thought one Christmas morning I would open my own gifts with my pocket knife. And I closed that knife on my finger, and it ruined a couple of hours of Christmas on that day. But I think about that cut that went across my finger, how it regenerated, and it healed up nicely. Today, I don't even have a scar there where I once had a cut, because I occupy a body designed by God that is capable to some degree of regenerating. What does that mean? Well, it's the idea of bringing something into renewed existence. Something that needs to be renewed, that needs to be regenerated. Then in a spiritual sense, you and I, because of sin in this world, in our engagement in it, are in need of regeneration. Spiritually, man, because of sin, is dead. And he needs regeneration. Think about Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, where Isaiah said, because of iniquity and because of sin, we're separated from God. He's hid his face from us because of our sins. And we need regeneration. We need to be brought into renewed existence so that our relationship with God can be what it needs to be. Jesus introduced this concept of regeneration or rebirth. And it was a very confusing subject to the ones that he preached. You might recall John chapter 3 verses 3 through 5, where he said it this way, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know the trouble that caused Nicodemus and others, quite frankly, because Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, what is this idea of rebirth? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus introduced this idea of regeneration, taking something that needs to be brought into renewed existence. And that's exactly where you and I are. Before becoming Christians, we are such that we need regeneration. We need to be renewed. And Jesus said, if you don't do that, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Notice, friends, he didn't say, who is your ancestry? He didn't say, well, this depends on who your grandmother is. Or it depends on who your mother is. He didn't ask those questions because Christianity is not about generation. It's about regeneration. It's about being made new. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Peter would remind Christians later, to whom he wrote, what this actually looked like. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he said to Christians, people who had already been regenerated, who had already been reborn, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is that? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Those to whom Peter wrote had received the word of God. They had not appealed to their ancestry. They have not looked at their family tree and said, well, my grandmother was a Christian, my mother was a Christian, so that makes me a Christian. No, they didn't do that. If their grandparents were Christians, if their mothers were Christians, they were appreciative for it, no doubt. But they recognized that they needed to take the word of God and they needed to allow the Spirit through that instrument to teach and convict them about the need to be born again. And then through obedience to the gospel, they purified their souls. They alleviated themselves from the sins in their lives. They removed those things that separated them from God. They were brought into renewed existence. They were regenerated. Obeying the gospel is regeneration, wherein the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our sin-stained selves. And it puts us into the family of God. On this wall is a piece of art that represents a physical family that I, very likely like you, are very proud of, because it represents our generations. And while there may be a Christ connection in those generations, that's much different than the portrait on this wall, because this one represents a spiritual family, a family that has experienced regeneration through the Word of God and obedience to it, where when we are brought into a renewed existence. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28 records where Paul said, for you are all sons. You see the regeneration? You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Think about the Jews and how they appealed to their ancestry and their lineage. It was all about lineage. What family you came from all the way back to Abraham. And then when Titus and the Roman army in AD 70 came to Jerusalem and leveled it flat, so also went all of those genealogical records. Prove your family. Can't prove that. No Jew alive, claimed Jew today, alive can demonstrate that generations. But we can this. Through obedience to the gospel, we can do what is necessary in order for us to be in the family of God, to be regenerated. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul would put it this way in writing to Titus, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Listen, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The book that we have before us has been given to us by the Spirit of God. It's perfect and complete because the Spirit of God ensured that. And then when you and I take that book, read it, and study it, we can come to know the truth and obey it and genuinely realize regeneration in our lives. Regeneration, not generation, is the recipe for a true Christian. Now, thirdly and finally this morning, what does regeneration look like in our lives? If it is the case that I have put less emphasis on generation and I put the true emphasis on regeneration, what does that look like? I would suggest to us a number of things, among which are these few. First, I would say it's similar to our lifespan development. On that tree that shows our generations, there may be symbols for newborn children into that family. And just as that newborn child is going to have to grow and develop and be fed and be nurtured to the point to where it can thrive and take care of itself, so it is the case in Christianity. See, regeneration looks a lot like lifespan development. A 50-year-old man who's not a Christian can obey the gospel in a spiritual sense. He becomes a baby. That happened for me. Not at 50, but it sure wasn't at 18. It wasn't at 20. And it's like you start all over again. Now I'm a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the word that I may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Paul would say in Hebrews chapter 5 or 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. We grow up now spiritually. At least we're supposed to. Because the Hebrews writer would say in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, for though by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and become as need milk and not solid food. You see, regeneration in many respects resembles human lifespan development. We begin as babes and we grow up and we mature in that process. Here's something else relative to what regeneration actually looks like. Regeneration may actually weaken your family ties. You see, on the one hand, we're appealing to our ties with family. But on the other hand, because you are a Christian, it may make family challenging. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. What does it look like? Regeneration is the result of personal consideration and acceptance. Regeneration requires me to actually think. Generation wouldn't do that. I'm a Davis by generation. I didn't do anything to help that about. Not a thing. But regeneration is the result of personal consideration of the Word of God and then the acceptance of it for myself. My mom may have done that. She did. That's great. My grandmother did it. That's great. But what about me? Because it's not about generations. It's about a renewed existence that hinges on what I do. If you'll think back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, listen again to what Paul said to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. It's in you, Timothy. Yes, it was in your grandmother first, and then it was in your mother. But now it's in you. Not about you, but in you. How? Because Timothy had investigated and had accepted what the Word of God said for himself, not because of generations. So regeneration is a result of personal consideration and acceptance. Here's something interesting about regeneration, about being a Christian. It can actually look like reverse evangelism. We think of generations teaching generations in progression. But many of those spiritual family trees look like this. Fourth or fifth generation person comes to know the Word of God and obeys it. They're regenerated. And then what do? They work back up the tree, trying to affect the well-being of mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather. Regeneration doesn't look like something that just flows down through the family, like some automatic process. It can actually work in reverse and often does. What does regeneration look like? It definitely looks like a changed life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, a passage likely very familiar to us, "I am crucified with Christ." That was the result of examination and acceptance. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Not the religion of grandmother. Not the religion of mother. And while it might be exactly the same, it's not living in me because it was living in them. It's living in me because that's what I pursued personally. "Christ lives in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It definitely looks like a changed life. It definitely looks like an ever decreasing interest in the world. You know, that cut on my finger looked really bad at first. It looked like something that needed a lot of help. It looked bad. And it could have gone a number of ways. It could have gotten worse. But it eventually got better and better through proper treatment and medication. It got better. And the signs of the betterment were evident. As you think about the question, are you a Christian by generation or regeneration this morning? Does it definitely look like change in your life? It definitely looks like an ever-decreasing interest in the things that are worldly. And regeneration definitely looks like an ever-increasing interest in things that are spiritual. If you are not a Christian this morning, generation alone will not help you. I, in no sense, am trying to diminish the significance and the importance and the cause for gratitude for situations where our ancestry and our generations have been New Testament Christians. That is a great advantage to us. Because very likely the people who love us most and care about us most have given us an advantage and put us ahead in the race by teaching us the things that they have come to know as truth. Don't write that off. But that will mean nothing to you until you internalize it. Until you study it and you accept it based upon the reality that you see the evidence and are convicted by it. If you're not a Christian this morning, you ought to be. Be glad for your generations that have influenced you. But recognize that Christianity is about regeneration. Being born again through obedience to the gospel. If you have obeyed the gospel, listen. Did it bring about regeneration in your life? Did it bring about change for the betterment? Because that's what being a Christian is all about. May God help us to be people who are regenerated, who appeal to our own responsibility to know God and to obey Him, and not appeal to what others have done while we're thankful for it, and not appeal to it as though that in and of itself will make us what we ought to be. If you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, if we can help you in any way, will you come as we stand and sing?